If you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 2. And we'll be starting at verse 23 today. Questions of the Sabbath. And it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered into the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and he also gave it to those who were with him?" Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." He entered the synagogue again, and a man was there whose hand was withered, and they were watching him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so he might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and step forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do harm, to save a life, or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might put him to death. Wow. So we are today wrapping up this segment that we've been going through of Jesus entering into conflict with the religious leaders of the day. And this conflict is started out with Jesus healing a guy who got dropped down through a roof, and then we got some things doing with food, who you're eating with and who you're not eating with, and now the kinds of things that you're eating and when you should eat and how you should, all these things. So, but it's kind of escalating. And Mark kind of framed this section here to show us this progression of how Jesus is in his message of the kingdom of God and how that is just butting right up against the culture of the day, even the religious culture of that day. And we see that here today. Now, we're going to talk a little about Sabbath today, which is an interesting thing. I was just remembering when I was a young kid, I was probably, 14 or 15, and we were visiting some folks. I don't know what the connection was. It doesn't matter. But we spent a couple days there, and we had a Sunday there. And this family, this is a big old family, typical homeschooled, 8 kids kind of thing, right? So we were there, and all these kids. And on Sunday morning, we had a little worship service together. And this, in their home, they had some. But then the rest of the day, what they would do is they would literally, and I mean, kids, everybody, they had like 3-year-olds on up to teenagers, and they would sit in a chair for like almost the whole afternoon, and they were either to read their Bible or just contemplate and say prayers. So they did that. And the impression I got from the kids, particularly in this practice, was they hated it with all their hearts. It was just, and that's interesting, right? There's lots of different ideas of what people do or what they think about Sabbath. So let's see what Jesus is trying to tell us here in the Sabbath idea. Well, he starts off, I want to ask the question of, who is the Sabbath for? What is this about? Now, Jesus, in his confrontation, is confronting this idea of Sabbath. Now, the origin of the Sabbath really has its roots in Genesis 1, right? In Exodus, when the law was put forth, and even in the Ten Commandments, they set aside in 6 days, God did his work, and the seventh he rested. Now, okay, God does not need to rest. Okay, we understand that, right? So that wasn't the point. It wasn't that God was tired. What was the point? God could step back and say, this is great. What did he say? This is great. This is good. This is very good. We looked at people. And he just took and showed us a model of, hey, step back and enjoy. And then, so that's the roots of it. We see that. And it was more about, I think, as we study this, more about a rhythm of life. About a rhythm of life and faith. Of trusting, acknowledging God in these things. And it's really, like I said, it was an act of faith. You know, even today, I would say back then when they had to work so hard to sustain themselves, hey, it's the same today, folks, right? And there are many people, families who are struggling. And then, you know, they'll work 7 days a week or work two jobs and all the time just to make ends meet. And there's a struggle there. People get tired. So the origin then is this root of the law of God based on the pattern of creation. Now, Christians, in their accommodation or view of Sabbath, once we moved it to Sunday, sort of, to traditionally celebrate the resurrection. That's what it was about. That's why they moved it to Sunday. That's why we're here today. We're here today because the Christians back then said, hey, you know what? We want to remember this day. And so this is a remembrance of Jesus' resurrection. Every Sunday today is Resurrection Sunday, really, okay? So that's what kind of started. So that's how this whole thing began. And so it became a time of worship, of, you know, coming together, a meal, the communion meal, and then an actual meal together. So it was community-based. It was worship-based. And then out of that, of course, then all kinds of traditions, just like the Jewish people did, we do the same thing. A lot of traditions around it. Yeses, noes, things we do, shouldn't do, all these kind of things. So what Sabbath became in Jesus' time here, what he is confronting, instead of an open-ended, life-giving, flourishing, joyful experience of rest, it became a restrictive, strict looking at ordinances and what you should not do, right? And again, I think it came out of a desire to honor God, right? But almost paranoid. They just like, oh, we want to make sure we honor God. And so, you know, if the line's here and honor God, we're going to put the fence over here because we don't want to have anywhere near of displeasing God in any way. Now, remember, and for the Pharisees, for them, there's some eschatological ideas of, hey, we want to bring the kingdom of God. We want to make sure we're doing what we can do to make sure, you know, to get rid of the Romans and these kind of things. So there's this, that was going on. And so they set up this whole elaborate system, and we can make fun of it all we want to. There's some silliness to it, right? I mean, you know, you can only walk so many feet away from your house. You can, you know, you can tie a knot, but only if it can be untied with one hand. I mean, there's, okay, we can do those kind of things. There's some also really rich and neat writings from that time of how to really enjoy a Sabbath, but it did get kind of ridiculous. And for the Pharisees, of course, we're seeing power and control. They want things to be a certain way. They want people to act a certain way. And so that is what we're dealing with here. You know, it became this idea of a God who would punish anyone who is having a good time, more or less, right? You know, in fact, you know, the more dour a face you have probably means you're probably doing it right. You know, and then that was the picture we have here. Okay, so what is Jesus' take on this whole thing? Well, we have the accusation that we first read. You know, they're going through a field and they're hungry and they're picking the heads of grain or whatever it was there and they're eating it. Now, again, I don't think that sounds very good. Now, if I'm walking through a raspberry patch, maybe. But I'm not, you know, but again, if you're hungry, you're hungry, right? And so they're just, you know, they take it, they roll it up, and they could eat, you know, get something in their stomachs. But that was work, right? I mean, the way the rules, you're so, hey, get all that taken care of ahead of time. You know, prepare everything early and get it all done so that you don't have to do this. And so they see these guys, and they're walking, eating, and they're going, oh, look at them. They're working. Obviously, they are terrible, terrible, terrible people, all right? But then Jesus gives an analogy. He takes the scriptures, the very scriptures these Pharisees knew, and said, hey, do you remember what King David, you know, the King David, did? And that story is in 1 Samuel 21. How they were hungry with his guys. They were running away from Saul. And they were hungry, and they went and ate this consecrated bread. Now, if you look in Leviticus chapter 24, that's where it is here. And it's actually kind of interesting, the law here about this. So in Leviticus 24, starting at verse 5, this is the law that was supposed to be there. Then you should take fine flour. So they're talking about the sanctuary and all these things. Fine flour, bake 12 cakes with it. Okay, 12 tribes of Israel, 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake, and you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 to a row on the pure gold table for the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense on each row, so they may be a memorial portion for the bread and offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place. For it is most holy to him from the Lord's offering by fire, his portion forever. Okay, so this is not an inconsequential thing. All right, this is a big deal. This bread is supposed to, again, represent the tribes of Israel before the Lord. You know, and then in the place of Aaron, the Levites, and that. Okay, so this is important. You know, I wouldn't want to lessen it. You know, and here comes David. Okay, you can maybe say, okay, maybe King David. You know, okay, we'll give him a pass. But then all his other guys too. You know, and in fact, in this story, it's interesting. The priest is kind of like, you know what bread that is, right? You know, and you know, and he says, okay, but they did it, right? And then it's fascinating here then. What Jesus uses that example for. For him, human need trumped any cultural or the strict observance of that law. And so the answer, I think, what Jesus is showing us, and he tells us that, is that what is the purpose of the Sabbath? It's for people. Okay? It sounds weird to come out of my mouth, but I'm going to say it. It sounds really strange, but I'm going to. Here we go. Ready? The Sabbath is not for God. Right? God put it in here for people. And that's what Jesus says exactly, doesn't he? He says, the Sabbath was made for man. God doesn't need to rest. He's fine. But he knows us as people. He wants to give us. This is a gift. He says, take this great gift. You know, here's creation. I'm enjoying it. Why don't you enjoy it too? That's what a Sabbath is, okay? That's what it's for. It's for people. Now, I think we looked at our Christian tradition of a Sabbath or Sunday morning, however we want to call it, we kind of conflate worship and Sabbath as the same thing, okay? And again, it gets mushy here, right? I mean, we're kind of, oh, yeah, there, you know, but we got to make sure we understand what a Sabbath is really about. It's for people. And Jesus, again, in this narrative, of course, we're establishing Jesus, who he is, and then he is Lord of this Sabbath. And that is where the real conflict comes, all right? It's not about Jesus as an interpreter of the law or Jesus as a defender of the law. He's not coming at it from that angle. He's coming at it as someone who rules. He's not looking at the rules. He is the one who rules. And as that person, he says, hey, no, this is what it's about. And so that's where the conflict comes. You know, and it's not just about missing the point of what Sabbath is. It's missing the point of who Jesus is. And his role in all this. Now, and now maybe some of you were surprised that I actually continued on to the next little story. Tricked you. Because it talks about Sabbath. So it's kind of like an example then. Jesus says, okay, Mark shows, okay, let's give us a concrete example of how this works, all right? And the question then is, what is the Sabbath for? Okay? We know who it's for. It's for people. Well, what's it for? What can we do during Sabbath? All right. So first we had the setup, right? And it was a setup from the beginning. There was a synagogue. The leaders knew there's this guy with withered hand. They you know, they knew this. Oh, you know what? That Jesus, it's just so bizarre. That Jesus, we know that he's going to try to heal him. How dare he? Because that's just the kind of guy he is. We just know he's going to do that. That Jesus, healing people. My goodness. And so they went in. They knew this guy was there. And of course, Jesus knew from the start. He knew right away. So this man with a withered hand, you know, was it injured? Was it a birth defect? Something he couldn't use his hand. You know, I appreciate that story now more and more with the problems I'm having with my hand. I wake up in the morning, like, oh, that'd be awful, you know? And so the Pharisees' interpretation of a Sabbath was, yeah, if someone was dying, all right, they're on their deathbed, they're bleeding profusely, something like that, yeah, you can take care of that on Sabbath. But just a withered hand, that can wait, right? That's work. That can wait. Just do that later. They probably wouldn't have any, well, they'd still have a problem with it, but, you know, do that tomorrow. Tomorrow's good. What are you doing tomorrow? Do that tomorrow. And again, the focus was on what you can't do. You don't do this because that might be considered work. They weren't even saying necessarily it was work, but they just, the appearance of work. Don't do it. Again, and we see, right, I mean, that just very clearly shows us that they had no idea what the Sabbath was for. The Sabbath is for people, for the good of people, for the flourishing of people. And it's not just who it's for, but what it's for. And that was the answer Jesus gave. And he gives, again, what a softball of a question, right? I mean, this is easy. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm? To save a life or to kill? And unfortunately, the Pharisees go, well, harm and kill. Well, it makes no sense. And the Pharisees went, oh, you know, they put him in a box. They put him in a box, and instead of answering it, instead of just saying, yeah, you're right, you do good, they just didn't say anything. And we have this instance of Jesus being angry. Angry. You know, now, we understand that anger is a volatile, terrible thing, right? I mean, for human beings, we need to be very careful with our anger. But we also understand that, you know, people try to put this dichotomy upon Jesus, either, or God. Either God is love, which you see is true, you know, but what about the wrath? How can God be love and wrath? Well, okay, no, God is not wrath. He's, you know, God is love. But out of that love, if he sees wrong, he's like, what kind of God do we want to serve if he can look upon suffering and not feel something about it? And here's this case. Here's, I think this anger, it's an anger that comes out of grief, of sadness. He's looking at these people and saying, you don't understand. How can you do this? How can you think this? How can you look at people with suffering and just say, no, I have a chance to do good, but because of this rules, I'm just not going to. So he's just like, oh, you guys, I can't believe it. And he says, stretch out your hand, and it was healed. Just like that. Instead of rejoicing, instead of wanting good for a person, instead of just admiring the flourishing and the kingdom of God, the presence of God there, the Pharisees reject. And in fact, he went so far as to want to kill him. And so what we come out of this is, one, the idea of Sabbath is for people. It's for people to be refreshed, to flourish, and to enjoy. And it's for doing good. You know, so the question we should have is, what can't I do on the Sabbath? Where's the line is, hey, what good can I do? Do we say, okay, on this Sabbath day, if we, you know, want to think about it, I don't think it's really a Sabbath. I mean, a Sabbath isn't a day. It's just, you know, where you should, it's time of rest, right? So it should be, what can't I do, but what can I do? What good can I do? What fun can I have? You ever think about that? It's like, hey, you know what? What joy can I come out of this day if I want to have it as a Sabbath? What fun? What peace? What, you know, how can I make things better in this world? That's what a Sabbath is really about. Now, again, we see the Pharisees' reaction. We see that Mark's framing of this, we're looking then forward to this idea of Jesus being killed. And it's ironic. The Herodians, it's not really a group. There's like a Herodian club, okay? The Herodians were just those people who were supportive of the Herodian dynasty and the Roman rule. Okay, it's just those folks who are in that kind of circle of things. Powerful people, influential people, you know, they want to be inside of things, what's going on with the ruling class and all that kind of stuff. And so ironically, the Pharisees, who in their, everything about them and their ideas would be against these Herodians, but because they had some other goals, they said, you know what, we're just going to come alongside them for this purpose. You know, and that's a common theme throughout history, right? You know, I disagree. You know, these barbarians are terrible and they're immoral and I hate them, but you know what, they're really strong, so I'm going to recruit them to help me fight and take over this place, right? Yeah, I don't agree with, you know, the moral standing of this person, but, you know, they can help me get influence and get what I want. You know, and we do that. We make compromises because of utility or something we want to get done. And God, and Jesus saying, no, trust me, trust me. So what we see here then is this conflict of the kingdom of God, hidden culture, hitting religious establishment, hitting the worldly values. We started with, hey, you're blaspheming, to what can we do to kill this guy? The Pharisees wanted the status quo. They wanted things to stay the same. They were the, they were the conservatives of the day. Okay, again, I don't want to put any political thought back because but that's, you know, that's what they want things to stay the same. That's what that means. They want the prestige. They want the power. So what do we do with Sabbath then? See, that, and this is where it gets squishy. And I wish it wasn't, but it is. You know, the New Testament, you know, they made a move away from strict observance of the law. They made the move to observing Sunday as a Sabbath of sorts. But it, you know, again, that could even become a burden. You know, how many people, you know, just become resentful growing up with kids because they, you know, every day they had to get up and go to church and all those things, which is important. I mean, that, but the point of a Sabbath is, again, not worship. It's about rest and enjoyment and flourishing and joy, which I think can be here, all right? I mean, the New Testament also tells us, do not stop meeting together. Okay, this is important. But we can think about other things that we do. And this is a question for us even. Is what we're doing here life-giving? Or is it a chore? Is what we're coming together like this, is something we look forward to? Or do we go, oh, there's an obligation again? These are the real questions that we have to deal with. And then the question is, how do we establish a Sabbath rhythm to our lives? And that's a hard question. I've tried, and like even our family, it's a little different now. I'm working on Saturdays, but I would like to have, like, you know, Monday through Friday we work, you know, Saturday home chores, get stuff done, and try to make it so that you can have Sunday just off, right? Just an actual day off, you know, come together, worship, and then have your afternoon and go for a bike ride or take a nap or whatever, you know? All those things are great things, you know? And we can do those. I think the question that we run into is, how do we glorify God in a 2023 Sabbath rhythm of life, right? That's, you know, how, you know, there should be some spiritual mention to it, right? I mean, our coming together now is to honor God, to worship Him, to acknowledge His lordship in our lives, and to come together and encourage each other and confess our sins and pray for each other and lift each other up and, you know, all these kind of things. So how does that translate into rest? And how can people see us and say, oh, that's interesting how you're doing it? I am not sure. But I think that at the end of the day, to remember that the idea of Sabbath that God gave us is one of rhythm and of actual enjoyment of life. The kingdom of God is a If you think about how God intended things in the garden, it was about flourishing, about doing good, about caring and expanding and all these good things to live as human beings that are living to our potential, all this kind of stuff. And we try to squeeze it into a bunch of a box of don't do this and don't do that. So I would encourage us. I don't know if I've given you any clarity on the issue. It's tough. It is. But I would say is just check your own thinking in what we are demanding of other people in a Sabbath, some folks, maybe just a Sabbath is Tuesdays because, this their work schedule. They work at a plant and the shifts go in such a way that Sunday just doesn't work. That can be the case. But we do want to honor God in the understanding He knows us as human beings and wants us to be healthy and happy and able to do good for those around us. Amen. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, we are thankful for your word. And Lord, we know that your kingdom conflicts with the kingdoms of this world. And in our culture, especially, we see the busyness of life, the desire to accumulate, to conquer, to display wealth. And in your kingdom, that is upside down from that. So help us, Lord, I pray, as your people to live lives that have a rhythm, a healthy rhythm of work and honoring you and enjoyment of this life. The kingdom of God is here, and we want to properly enjoy your creation even as you do. Help us, Lord. And we thank you for that gift of Sabbath you give to us. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.